Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we are talking about Rush Hour, baby. Little Chris Tucker, little Jackie Chan, Rush Hour. We have a very special guest this week who made the suggestion for Rush Hour. It is my comedy son. I love him so much. It's Peter Saran, everybody. What's up, Peter?
Hi, guys. I'm Peter Saran.
My comedy son.
Yeah.
So many questions.
So many questions. The question is, why did you start calling me a mother?
I did not do that.
You did. You were always telling me I dress like a soccer. You're like, you're a soccer mom. You're a soccer mom. And I was like, well, then I'm your mom. That's what's up right now. That's what's
happened. That's not where that was supposed to go.
I know. It never goes where you're supposed to go. Peter, what, may I ask you, first of all, what is your relationship with this movie?
I grew up watching a lot of Jackie Chan movies, and this was like the first one that was like, it had like the weird comedy, like, you know, it wasn't like two white people starring in a movie. It was just, they just happened to be the villains. That was cool.
It's perfect. Yeah. Rush Hour, guys. If you have not seen Rush Hour, how? Is my first question. How have you not seen Rush Hour? It's an hour and a half. Just put it in. Just pop it in. Don't worry. Why do you say pop it in like we're not living in 2022 right now?
I'm like, yeah,
like just pop it in. Just pop it in your VHS.
You still have a VHS of Rush Hour 2, like Rush Hour hanging around. It's like,
it's
that's how you watch Rush Hour.
For sure.
Yeah. Yes. It's in your basement. Sit on a shag carpet. Watch this movie. Okay.
With the corners of the cardboard VHS tape all dinged up and white. And there's like, it's sitting on top of your copy of Aladdin, you know.
Yeah.
The kids.
Yes.
You still have to return it to Blockbuster in 2006. It's overdue, man.
Overdue, yeah.
Those, sometimes if you wait long enough, problems solve themselves.
Whole company shut down, you're right.
No, it's perfect. Guys, if you haven't seen Rush Hour, I'm going to describe it as quickly as I can. I think I can do it pretty quickly. We've got Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker. We've got a diplomat whose daughter has been stolen. Big hostage situation, big money on the table. They're in the United States for some reason. It blows my mind that they collected all these artifacts and you're like, you know where we're taking them? To the US. Okay. I just got them and I'm going to bring them over there.
USA.
Yes. Oh my God. So USA. The FBI is involved. They do not want Lee and Carter, Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker to be involved in this because they're terrible at what they do. And then this movie shows you again and again that they're terrible at what they do. Big turnaround at the end. Turns out the man that sent the diplomat over is the guy that was trying to get the money the whole time. Roll credits. That's it. That's pretty much.
You forgot War.
Oh, War. Yes. They sing War outside of a very noteworthy car. Yeah. I don't know why any cop would ever have that car.
Yeah. It's not very undercover.
It is truly not undercover at all.
Yeah. Honestly, they were pretty flippant about a kidnapping throughout the whole movie. It was kind of just a joke.
Yeah.
you're like a young woman. Yeah. Like a young girl's been kidnapped. All right. Let's go fight a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. Little beach boys in the background, you know, make it happen. Guys, did I miss anything major?
I guess like the main thing is like Consul Han, who's like sent there, he asks that Lee, Jackie Chan, be assigned to this case because they worked together in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Like, so they know each other. And Carter is an asshole and they want to sideline Lee by assigning him to a partner that nobody cares about and won't do any good. Like, it's basically like they're getting rid of these two guys.
Yeah, show them around town, and then they just start producing the most destruction possible.
Absolutely unhinged.
Unhinged.
But they solved the case.
Really, really fun movie to watch, though. I will say that.
It is.
This movie moves. Okay,
it does.
This movie
no fat on this movie. Absolutely no fat on this movie. I mean, the villain is pretty obvious, like, but I guess we can run them down. So, like, for me, like, the big villain is it's Griffin, I think, slash Junto, right? Juntao?
Yeah.
So he's got a fake name, and like he's the crime boss or whatever. Like, that's the big guy. And Peter, I am very interested because we've been doing this a long time. Okay. And let me just say that we have what we call we have a bit of a key to doing this, which is if you are somebody who we know who is funny and has a suggestion for a movie, we generally just let you come on and be like, yeah, we trust you. Come on. And the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, how the fuck is Peter going to defend this? Because I think it bears repeating that Griffin is a British governor of Hong Kong.
British colonialism, man. Yeah. That's their true villain.
Used his position of authority to instill himself as a crime lord and take priceless Chinese cultural artifacts into his own possession before Hong Kong police seize it and take it back. And then he kidnaps a daughter, blows up a thing. So I'm just like, the whole time, I'm just like, how is Peter?
All right, hear me out.
Hear me out. He says, hear me.
I'm gonna be real honest. I didn't know I had to defend Juntao. I just really wanted to.
I want to talk about this movie.
No. Yeah, I just really wanted to ask you guys one question. What do you guys think? Your opinion on what this movie did for race relations?
I don't just think either of us are an authority to say.
Oh, come on, guys.
There are definitely some moments that are... You know what's so wild to me? Because I knew going into this, I was like, I know Jackie Chan drops an N-bomb. Like, I was like, I know that. I know that going in. But what I didn't know was then after he does that, he immediately kicks that man's ass.
Oh, yeah. He kicked all of their asses.
So... wild.
Yeah. That's how, like, do you?
Because that man gets very reasonably upset. It's a very reasonable reason to get upset. And then Jackie Chan proceeds to kick that guy's fucking ass.
All of them, bro. And my only thing is like, yeah, yo, afterwards.
Sorry, go ahead, Peter.
No. My only thing was, how do you explain that to your homies? like, you're just like, yeah, he called me the N-word. And then he beat the crap out of all of us, man.
All of us.
Just with his feet.
Bar. That guy is a racist.
Yeah. And like,
and his friends are being like, oh, an Asian man knew kung fu and beat you up in your bar? That is also a stereotype. You are not just allowed to do.
Racism all around, man.
Oh, my goodness. There is a villain that I think we can... very strongly defend here, though, okay? And that is the FBI.
Okay. They're terrible.
Because the FBI is a villain in this movie, certainly, okay? They're an opposing force to our duo, okay? They're the opposing force to Lee and Carter. That's right? Am I...
No, you're right. Yes. Yeah, they are an obstacle. Like, yeah.
And... both of these men should not be on this case. None of these people, all they do is fuck shit up the whole time. And the FBI is very correct to keep these men off of this, to try and keep these men out. Okay, because neither of them should be looking after this case, not even a fucking little bit.
No, I would agree with that. I think, like, Chris Tucker, Carter's character, for example, the movie starts with, he's trying to do like an undercover arms deal, basically. He's like buying explosives off of a guy in the parking lot of a diner, to which he shows up late, by the way. That's like, you show up late to an arms deal, you fucking idiot. Like an undercover arms deal. Like, you know that you don't have any of your shit together if you're showing up late to your sting operation. Fuck right off. Like, I... showing up on time is like the least you can ask of somebody. But then he gets two uniformed police officers shot.
One loses his pinky.
Oh yeah. That's
he straight up loses a finger.
Oh my god. Yes. Which is maybe the best outcome of that, like considering you could have been killed. And then when the bad guy gets away, he shoots at a car filled with C4, blows it up in the middle of the street, and then does a little dance.
Yes.
Like
I do like the dance.
Okay, as a character beat? Yeah, sure. But like as...
as an like unhinged individual? Yeah.
Oh, that guy should be fired immediately. Immediately. I'm sorry, if a guy's getting away with a trunk full of C4... You kind of let him get away, you know? You catch up with him later. You know who he is. Presumably, you know this thing. You don't endanger the entire block by being like, I blew it up. I'm going to get him. Also, the fact that the guy jumped from the car is like, is the only reason that you're not being charged with murder.
Well, I mean, he's a cop. He'd probably.
He'd get away.
He'd get, it's L.A.
Yeah. And even this movie is very like self aware of that. They're like, yes. I love it where Carter's is like, we're the LAPD. We're the most hated police force in the world. My mother's not even proud about me. I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
She says I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a cool mom. I like your mom. I fucking like your mom. That's sick. Yeah. Like, how does he not even let other cops know where his sting's going down?
Yeah.
Like, everybody in that area should know what's going down. He doesn't bring his partner, which we later find out is because his dad, he believes his dad died because his partner didn't get out of the car to help him. And I'm like, and your solution to that is to bring no one so you definitely die.
Yeah.
Because, like, in that scenario, it's like nobody can even get out of the car for you.
Yeah.
You've just removed that. So you're like, yeah, I'll fucking die. I don't care.
And also worth noting that his partner in this case is Johnson, the bomb squad officer. Like, she knows how to fucking do bombs. That's the see, this is the problem. The I work alone mentality. Ugh. I absolutely hate this as a trope in a movie because no man's an island, you know, but also we're not all bomb squad people. like there is no, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no allowance for skills outside of your own when you're like, I work alone. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, he shows us how fucking little he knows about bombs at the end of the movie when he's trying to rip a bomb, like a vest off a child, and the child even knows better than him to be like, no, no, no. Don't rip this bomb off of me. It's going to go off like every bomb of all time.
I could have done with more of the kid, to be honest with me.
The kid was awesome. Fucking love that kid.
Sue Young, yeah, just like fucking nailing Jackie Chan at the beginning of the movie and like, how's your eye gouging coming along? Like, I want to see her. I could have done with like 3 to 4 more scenes of her just like making her kidnappers' lives miserable.
Absolutely. Her singing in the car, Mariah Carey's so cute. The whole thing where she's like literally has a bomb strapped to her and she's like, yeah, blow every one of us up. I'm like, that's fucking hysterical. That's so fucking funny.
Her, please.
Oh, yes, just absolutely. I would have taken at least 10 more minutes of screen time with that girl for sure.
But I realized on this watch why the movie was called Rush Hour, and it is so tentative. It is such a, it's like when they kidnap her, they say, because they redirect her car and they go, what's going on? Is there been an accident or something? Like, what's the holdup? And the guy who's kidnapping her goes, no incident, it's just Rush Hour, and then shoots people.
Yeah.
And that's that they titled the movie. It makes like they have they is there a Rush Hour 3 now? There's 3, right?
Yeah, there's 3.
So there's 3 Rush Hour movies based on a throwaway line that could have easily been cut from the first movie. Do they try and make Rush Hour at all relevant to the other two movies?
Like, I don't think so, man. I think that was just like one of those things, like, yeah, we got to put the title in the movie, man. How do we, there's got to be some reason we do this. And they're just like, yeah, we'll just have him go like, it's Rush Hour, and then shoot two people.
Yeah. But
you know what would have sold it to me more? If they had looked directly at the camera saying that it's Rush Hour, like, so just really dead-eyed it.
You think they came up with the name of the movie and then worked it into the screenplay?
I gotta believe it. I gotta believe it.
I wanna believe it. That's what I wanna believe. I okay, also have just noticed I have never questioned the title of that movie.
No.
No, like at no point had it ever registered to me that it would, like, well, why is it called this? Like, this movie's insane.
To me, like, and that's why it just jumped out at me, because, like, for me, Rush Hour is always just like, yeah, Rush, Jackie Chan, Hour, Chris Tucker. Like, like, Rush Hour is so synonymous with those two. I'm just like, yeah, that's what you call a movie where you've got Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. And it's like, oh, no, there should be, like, something related to the plot. Like, and it's not. There's no relation to the plot. This movie has very little to do with traffic or time or even rushing places.
I guess they were driving around a lot. I guess that could.
That's true. They do have the dance thing in the car. Yeah, legit.
But there's a lot of dancing for a very serious situation.
Yeah. When they start walking away towards the car, and then they just practice stealing guns from each other the whole time. You're like, is this really the appropriate time?
I did like that scene, though. I felt like that's why this movie works, is like the energy that's encapsulated in that scene, where you've got Chris Tucker, who is like just dancing, looks so smooth, so cool doing it, and then you got Jackie Chan, who can do like the most insane martial arts stuff. And they're like doing that at each other. I was like, oh, this is why this movie works. Because,
oh, for sure,
this energy is something special between the two of them.
Also, a lot of racism coming from Carter. Can we? He said a lot of things where you're like,
oh, yeah.
Chris.
No, there's definitely parts of this movie where you're like, Mr. Tucker. Excuse me. Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a big sprinkling of racism over this movie.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth line, which is iconic, is so insulting to say to anyone.
When he's like screaming at him when he shows up, I never ever understand that. I'm going to get louder so you'll understand me better.
I don't think it makes sense, but I understand it.
Yeah, Craig, do you understand?
No, you definitely don't. But like, I think there's like a misfire in people's brain where they go like, you're so used to talking to people in your own language, whatever that is, that I think like if you're not being understood, it's because they can't hear you. Right. So you go, do you understand what I'm saying?
Like they're deaf?
But that's not why you don't understand each other in that situation. But like, that's the only thing that we can think of. It's like, it's human beings simultaneously being the dumbest people, a dumbest creature in the world, and the smartest, right? Like, I understand intellectually that people speak different languages and there's different syntax and different words for different things. But I've only ever not been understood when there's loud noises in the background. So I'm just going to talk to you like I'm at a concert.
That's a heavy take.
Just to speak on why I don't think Lee should be a part of this, and I think the FBI like really hits it. There's a moment in this movie where one of the FBI agents just goes, listen, you know this girl. You are too personally connected to this case to make proper judgments. You shouldn't be here. Those are facts. Those are straight facts.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't have any argument against that. It is exactly correct.
Yeah, you were this girl's teacher essentially. Yeah. Like, we know that he has, like, a fairly well-developed, like, tutoring relationship with this girl. Yeah, he shouldn't be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what doesn't work in, like, operations like this? Emotions.
Yeah.
When you're doing, like, negotiations, even, like, the one part where Carter is like, yeah, I'm the FBI, talk to me. I'm like, you're no, under no circumstances should anyone be talking to you about anything, quite frankly. You can't even do your job, your baseline job well. And somehow in your head, you're like, it's promotion time, baby. We're out here. You guys must have ignored my application. I'm clearly perfect for this.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, not to harp on this, but he shows up to his first day as like an FBI agent, unaware that they're basically using him to like sandbag Lee.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is great. I've been waiting my whole life to be FBI. I'm FBI. Oh, but I work alone. Like, can you imagine showing up at your dream job and being like, can't wait for this opportunity. I already know what I'm doing and fuck off. I'm not going to work with anybody. Like, the balls. Like I'd be like, yeah, this is, guess what? First day on the job, you got to eat shit for like years and you're going to be chauffeuring this guy around. Well, that's a shit gig. Yeah. That's why you're the guy doing it.
Yeah. Welcome to being new on any job ever. It's like he's never had any job. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every job I've ever had, I just show up and I'm like, okay, be as quiet as you can. And just like, don't like, you got to get past that 3 month mark. You know what I mean? You're going to need a reason to fire me. Like I
love that 3 month review for Carter in this. It's like, well, in your first month, you stood by while an entire building got blown up. You trashed so many priceless Chinese artifacts. You did recover a girl, but at what cost?
You almost blew her up at a moment.
Oh,
like she's straight. You almost blew up her and you.
They screwed up the drop of the cash. You really like, there's that point midway in the movie. They're each following their own leads, and Lee and Carter end up at this restaurant where it just so happens that the drop is supposed to be taken for like dropping the money in exchange for the girl. And they screw that up. Like literally everything else that happens after that in the movie is their fault.
Oh no, it's crazy because you'd think they'd tell the FBI, like they're like, oh, we came across this huge lead. Maybe we should let the people that are going to help know. And they're just like, nah, we'll just go stand outside of a Chinese restaurant and sing war until we're ready to go inside. And the way he goes inside, too, he's like, yeah, I'm here to see Jun Tao. Just straight up, just lets them know just he's there.
Dropping names. Jesus, so stupid.
Yeah. Let's go up to a place where there's only one exit. That'll be good.
No backup. Just going in. Not even sure what this guy looks like. Like when Carter goes in that room, he goes like, I'm here to see Zheng Tao. And it could literally be any one of those guys in the room.
Yeah.
And as soon as they peg that he doesn't know who they are, that's game over too. You know, like it's
he had no fucking plan.
No.
And to go back to your point, Peter, and this is something we talk about all the time on this podcast, is everybody needs all the information.
Yes.
It's so important for everyone to have all the fucking information, especially when, because it feels so much like both of these men have to do it themselves. And that's not how rescue teams work, I think.
No.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think when you have like a hero complex, it's not necessarily the best person to have around.
No, this is definitely a teamwork activity. And one thing I will give, one thing I think that I think the FBI did the right thing by keeping these guys off the case. But I think Lee particularly does have something to contribute, and I kind of hate that they didn't do this, which is Lee has the history, right? What should have happened is Lee shows up at the airport, Carter picks him up, they bring him right to the FBI, and Lee goes, hi, here are the details of all the criminal investigations that have gone down in Hong Kong, the history of this organized crime thing. We took them down. Therefore, they hate the consul. They have a reason for revenge. We think that this might be a motivation, or this might be who's behind it. Right? And then Lee's off the case.
Yeah.
You provide.
He should have shown up with a box of files.
Yes.
That man should have been carrying paperwork.
That's a much more boring version of this.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Instead
how
of rush
fast
hours
could
called-
he write that paperwork, though? That pen would just be flying.
It's just Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan doing like file work for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Halfway through the movie, one of them gets a paper cut. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
Jackie Chan like literally just flips over. Like it's just. Oh, man. Yeah.
Jackie Chan is very cool, though. It is cool to watch him flip around and do some shit. Like, he's doing some cool shit, always.
The martial arts was crazy in this movie. Like, the action scenes alone, where you're like, yo, if anybody ever found out that a dude used a couch to beat me up but not, like, pick it up, he literally moved in the chair and kicked me. How do I tell people that? I don't. Like, how do you... This guy, he threw a tray at somebody like Captain America and just hit him. And the guy's got to get up and go home at some point and be like, I guess that was my day.
I got kicked by a guy who was like not in the chair when it began, but like he was sitting when I got kicked and then he was still sitting. Like, I honestly don't think you clock it. I think that happens. Like, if I think that happened to you in real life, you'd be like, what?
Like, somebody would have to tell you? No, yeah. I'm telling you, dude. Like,
he jumped through the tray. He jumped through the air, landed on the couch, tipped the couch out, kicked you in the jaw, jumped out of the chair. You're like, no. I just, like, it would be a flash of light for you.
Yeah, you'd
happened?
Be done. I think I'd
some,
quit
like,
my
support
job.
Group for these men afterwards. Like, they all meet on Tuesday nights or something, and they're like, how'd Jackie get you?
Yeah. Like, he jumped through a rung of a ladder, which I didn't even know happened. He spun it around his torso as he did it, knocked me and my buddy down.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's climbing the ladder. Like, it's insane. It's insane.
Like, I'm convinced Jackie Chan can fit into any space. Yeah. Like, I think he's like an octopus. Like, he could just get through a quarter-size hole somehow. Like,
he will find a way.
It's so impressive.
Also, to
while
go back,
we're on the, yeah, go
didn't Jackie Chan also beat up the FBI?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes.
He came through.
He shows up. Okay. Which brings up the point that everybody in this movie is fucking incompetent. Because...
Yes.
Okay.
You have guns.
You have a man who shows up to the consul's house and is like, hi, I'm here about his kidnapped daughter. You don't immediately go to arrest that guy. You go, oh, do you have information that might help us in our... thing. Also, they were expecting a guy.
Yeah.
Like,
they were expecting him.
Yeah, they were like 5'10 Asian. Like,
he didn't just show up. It's like, and also, like, I think it's worth noting that this is the consul, right? Which is like an ambassador, right? Like, a consul is basically an ambassador who just isn't in the capital of the city, right? So, like, like the ambassador would be in Washington, D.C., but you have a consulate in L.A. because the U.S. is a big country, right? And you don't want someone in L.A. having to fly all the way to D.C. to get like a passport renewed or something like that. So like this is, I'm not sure if the consul lives in the consulate, but this is a place where people from Hong Kong would be showing up to conduct pretty regular business. Yeah. You know, like this is, that could have just been a guy being like, hi, I've got a meeting with the consul because I'm a Hong Kong citizen
yeah.
And something's going on. Like the fact that they just go and beat him up and arrest him, and the fact that he doesn't stop and try and explain anything is insane.
He comes to the thing and he has a steering wheel attached to him by a handcuff. Yes. the whole time just behind him, and he goes like, I'm here to see the consulate. They radio back and they're like, well, there's a 5'10 Asian man here. I wonder if he's the bad guy we're looking for. That's immediately their reaction. They're like, we gotta get this guy.
Yeah, also, like, as soon as you're in handcuffs, just be like, can you just bring me over to the guy and I'll tell you what's going on? Like, he'll immediately recognize me. This guy could pick me out of a lineup, no problem. We really know each other.
This is something that could have been corrected so quickly.
Yes.
But it would not have showcased Jackie Chan's ability to scale a wall.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
And turn a camera.
That's awesome. No, that is legitimately very cool. Guys, before we continue with our episode, we would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Alder New York. Products for any skin type, no matter your age, gender, or ethnicity. We're talking about vegan certified products that meet the Environmental Working Group and EU safety standards. And they're awesome. Craig, you know they're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing about me is my shower is my me time. That's my relaxing, like the water's going, you know, like it's that white noise. It's warm. It's steamy. It got time to think. And Alder New York was kind enough to like send us some of their amazing products, their moisturizers, their face masks, and that sort of thing. And I used their cleansing body bar this morning. I've been using it for a couple weeks now, and it just feels so good. It's like, you know, you're sitting there, you're lost in your thoughts, and you're just giving yourself a good scrub, a good like little exfoliate, getting rid of all that dead skin. And like, it's so nice to have something that, it's simple, it's scent-free, and it's just like you taking care of yourself and your skin. Because we all have skin. It all needs to be taken care of.
We all have skin.
I hope we do. If you are listening to this and you do not have skin, stop listening immediately and go get that looked at. But the rest of us, we need to take care of our skin.
I don't know why it sounds so creepy.
That's the thing, right?
You're right.
We all have skin, but like the way that these things are normally advertised to you, they're like, are you a woman with your skin? Like they gender it so much with these beauty products, right? But we really just all need to take care of that largest organ that's covering our bones. Yeah. and take care of yourself and relax. And that like that's why I absolutely love this cleansing beauty bar and all the other things that they sent us.
Can be a booty bar if you want
it. It can be a booty bar. You can use it on the whole body.
The whole body. It's for you.
Wherever you have skin. It's absolutely great. So guys, if you want clean luxury skincare that doesn't have to break the bank, Alder New York makes skincare products with dermatologist approved ingredients and plant powered actives starting at $7.99. It's loved by the editors at Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, GQ, Men's Health, and more. So experience the products that Allure calls simple, sleek, and highly effective, and use code VILLAIN for 15% off your first order at aldernewyork.com. That's code VILLAIN, V-I-L-L-A-I-N, at aldernewyork.com. That's Alder, A-L-D-E-R, newyork.com for 15% off your first order. Thanks, Alder.
Hell yeah, now we're back. Now we're back to these horrible men. Just all these horrible men. Terrifying. I did want to mention the amount of times, because this is so unhinged to me, the amount of times that people are just pointing guns at each other, like that doesn't matter. Like they're constantly like Lee and Carter are constantly pointing guns at each other. Like they're not on the same side in some sense, and it's happening constantly. Like literally one of the first things when Lee kind of escapes is he's on this like tourist bus. He's on the top of this tourist bus. Yeah. And Carter gets behind him and literally puts a gun to his head. This man is not a criminal. He's just like gotten away from you. And you're like, here's a gun and it's right in your head, bud. You're millimeters away from death.
It is worth repeating that that Lee is a person who is in the United States legally. and has not committed any crimes. He is literally a tourist, and all he's done is basically the equivalent of a toddler walking off. Like, that's it. Like Carter says, like, stay still, stay here, and then Lee goes and gets on a bus. Guess what? He is an adult man. He is fully allowed to just go wherever he wants in L.A.
Yeah, there's also just so many people on that bus, and he's literally just, like, waving his gun around, taking photos and shit.
Yeah, unreal.
So does that make Carter the most corrupt cop in L.A.? Because the
not
amount
not
of...
Long shot, unfortunately.
Well, that's fair. But
unfortunately. Yeah.
But I just mean, like, the strikes that this guy should have gotten just by the things he did, just how, like, just suspended this...
Yes.
Badge on the desk. Just, you gotta leave, man. You can't come back to work.
I mean, if we're gonna go on the three strike rule, I think the movie starts with him at four. Like, it's... it's unreal. Like, by the time he points a gun at an innocent person's head on a moving bus, he has gotten two people shot, a car blown up, an entire, like... It's unreal. But also, like, in Lee's part, one, do I want to see Jackie Chan leap off the top of a bus and grab a street sign and hang from it?
Yes.
Yes, I want to see that. Is that the way that any sort of visitor would act? Or, like, someone who's like, I just need to get to see my friend. Like, that's extreme. You know what I mean?
No, I think he's just doing math in his mind at all times. Like, I think... I think he knows all the angles. He's like some sort of, he's got some different type of thing going on in his brain. He can calculate exactly where he needs to do everything, I think.
Just physics.
Yeah.
I believe this, you could drop this man in the middle of the jungle and he would come out just fine. Just absolutely fine.
Yeah. He's like,
he just kicked off every tree on the way out. Like,
wrapped himself in some vines, then unwound it. And
yeah.
Kicked
no,
a bear
this
in
man's
the head.
A survivor. He could make it happen anywhere. I'm not worried about him.
I would believe that, actually. I believe
for sure.
That. Like, there's some action stars where you're like, you know, like it's ropes and it's this and that. I think for Jackie Chan, I would seriously believe that, like, you put him in a bad situation, he could probably physically get out of it.
I don't think he has a stunt double. I think he's just
he
does all his stunts, which is insane.
I think a generous way to describe Jackie Chan would be like, he is a stunt person who's okay at acting. Like he certainly has a certain charm about him. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think if you had to put Jackie Chan in a category, like one category only, I'm putting him in stuntman.
Wait, you're telling me?
Oh, well, yeah.
That this acting wasn't top shelf for you, Greg? You're telling me Jackie
Chan saying, right?
Didn't blow your mind? No Oscar noms here? Okay.
I mean, Jackie Chan should for sure get like a Lifetime Achievement Award Oscar for sure at some point.
Well, yeah, he's not a singer
already.
Either. We'll say that.
Yeah. What's that?
He's not a singer. He's not.
Oh, no.
Which is crazy because apparently he's a singer in China. So.
He's, really?
Yeah, nice. Very much so. He's I think he's one of their top-selling recording artists.
Oh.
Holy shit, really? So it's like a David Hasselhoff being huge in Germany kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. You watched some of those David Hasselhoff video. Like those guys, if this is the first time you're hearing of this, just press pause on this episode right now and just Google... David Hasselhoff music video, and I believe the one you want to start on is Jump in My Car.
Jump in
I think that's what it's called.
Is that for Knight Rider?
I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. There is no way any description could prepare you for what you're about to watch. I think it's like Jump in My Car, Get in My Car, something like that, but like just Google that.
Yeah.
Real kidnappy.
It is. It takes somehow a very dramatic turn.
All right.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it.
And I can't believe, I guess like, obviously it's going to be difficult to sing in a different language, but it just like, it blows my mind that like Jackie Chan would be like a chart topping, super popular, you know, like, you know, when like people have more than one skill and you're like, how?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I can jump through a box office window and also I can carry a tune. That seems unfair to me.
Yeah, that does. You're greedy.
Triple threat, man.
He's a triple threat, yeah.
Like, can a guy who's taken that many punches to the stomach really be able to, like, vocalize? You know what I mean? Like, I think if anything, he'd be hoarse. You know, he'd be like, I've been punched a lot. I can't really hit the notes. I don't know.
Yeah. I would also like to mention that anytime anybody becomes in opposition to either of these men, their immediate threat is, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
Like, there's no conflict resolution. There's no negotiations. It is constantly, even if it doesn't happen, there's the threat of, I'm going to kick your ass. If you don't give me this information, I'm going to kick your ass. You know I can beat you down. Whatever it is. Also, Carter's like... really shady as a cop, all like aside from that. So like he mentions to one guy, he's like, okay, we have to see this guy right now. And he goes, I can't do that. Like this, it's after hours. I can't release any of the prisoners to you right now. Like you can't talk to this guy. And he's like, hey man, like I got you this job and I got you out of that problem with that bag of weed. And he went, half was for you. And it's like,
but he got the big half.
But I gave you the bigger half. And then he's talking about how the only reason why his cousin isn't arrested is because it's his cousin. He's like, it would break my aunt's heart. I couldn't do it. And it's like, holy shit, you're the worst cop. You're so bad.
So bad. And on top of that, I will say, like, his investigative method, so like trying to find out who's responsible behind this, literally involves Carter showing up and accusing people who have previous criminal records of basically being like, you did this, and if you don't give me information, I'm going to pin the whole thing on you.
Yeah, just...
it's like basically like extortion, right? Being like, there's a guy just selling, Hollywood star maps. And he's just like, you know about this, don't you? You know about this because I've arrested you before. And the guy's like, I don't know what's going on. You know, like it's... there's nothing about it that's actually like investigation. It's just showing up and threatening people. And those people happen to give you information that leads you somewhere, but it's like the weakest way to investigate. Yeah. Because if you did that in the real world, people would give you wrong information because you're threatening them. You know? Like there's no reason that any of these people are connected to this kidnapping. You just know them to be criminals.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
And you just threaten them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything works out in the end particularly well for Carter and Lee. It's insane how they become
going on vacay.
Yeah. Despite the fact that they have sexually harassed Johnson like crazy. Like a couple of it is like, you know, right at the beginning, he's like, I don't work as a partner. And then he's like, hey, you got to get in line. Like every other woman, you got to get in line to date me, which is like not workplace appropriate, but also like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But then at the end, he is calling her and he is begging for her to help him do something, which is, I'm guessing, illegal. Because I think he's been suspended or taken off the case at this point. And he goes, you got to help me. You got to help me. You got to do this. And she goes, all right, I'll do it. And then he follows it up with, what color panties are you wearing? Oh, God. Like, you just asked this woman for a favor and you can't fucking put a sock in it for like 2 seconds. You know?
And what was the other thing? He said something else about like had told everyone at the office that they had already had sex.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
And then Jackie Chan low-key puts his hands on her.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that vest is definitely thick enough that you're like, all right, but still. Still got to give you a bit of a, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Even if these guys can save the kid... legit. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're worth the HR problems that they're going to cause.
No.
You know what I mean? Like I'm sure there's plenty of people who can destroy downtown and get buildings blown up and trash places and jump out of moving vehicles. who aren't also sexually harassing coworkers, you know?
Absolutely. Do you know what I thought was especially fucked up? And I know it's such a small thing, but I don't think I would ever wear the jewelry of a child hostage. That just wouldn't be my vibe.
Oh, yeah, the lady.
Yeah, like, why would anyone ever do that?
I thought maybe... Yeah, that seems like a plot point that got dropped or something, yeah. Where it's like, that's the necklace that's important and, like, it means something, or that you're part of a group. Like, I thought it was not the same necklace. I thought it was, like, a similar necklace that would have, like, led to something. But, like, you're right. It's just a waitress at a restaurant wearing the jewelry of an abducted child. Like,
yes, that seems...
that seems... And not, like, she was involved. She just got given it.
Yeah.
By Jun Tao, who I guess is stupid now?
Yeah, or like, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe that was a gift of a criminal. Like, hey, baby, you're my number one girl. I got you this.
Not creepy at all.
Not creepy at all. Yeah, no. You know what I mean? Love getting that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There is, I think it's Sang is kind of the main henchman.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, Blondie?
Yeah, Blondie.
I call him Blondie.
And he's a pretty interesting villain because he's the guy who actually does all the dirty work, right? Like, he's the guy who kidnaps her. One, I gotta say, I don't think, if you're kidnapping someone, I don't think a motorcycle is the way to do that. I think a motorcycle is pretty much predicated on the fact that both people on it want to be on it. I think the second that you've got someone kicking and screaming and trying to get away, a motorcycle is not the vehicle for you. And the second thing I want to say about that guy is, by God, toxic masculinity in hostage situations. You should be smarter than this. Put down the gun and fight me like a man. Are you insane? Insane that you would drop a gun and have a fist fight with a guy that you just, like, he just walked in and fucked up your shit and you're like, no, my honor is on this. You kidnap children and murder people. Like, just shoot the damn guy. The fight like a man. I am going to fight like a man. I'm going to fight like a man with a gun and you don't have one. This is how criminal organizations work. I have the power and you don't. Fuck off.
I think that's a great point. I mean, he did blow up an entire floor. Why wouldn't you just shoot that guy? There's so much toxic masculinity in this. They literally, this is not an exaggeration, two adult men argue about whose dad was better.
Dead dads, by the way.
Yeah, our dead dads. My dead dad was better than your dead dad. Wow, this is a really weird conversation.
And now that I'm thinking about it, just going back, why did they blow up that warehouse? Like, what did that do for Jung Tao?
Warehouse?
So, like, remember they call with the ransom demand.
Yeah.
Right. And then the FBI traces it to this warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the SWAT team goes in, and then they blow it up, killing the SWAT team.
Yeah. What to show that them they're serious.
Was that
they're not messing around. Give me my money.
I guess maybe that's
and
it.
And don't track me, because I will kill you. It sends a message.
Fair.
To be fair, he had a very intricate plan for how easily he just gave himself up. In the end, you know, how easily he was just like, yeah, I'll blow everybody up. And you're like, you set up this whole plan and then you just easily told him who you were. Like they knew, like Carter and Lee knew, but they didn't have proof at all that you were Jung Tao at all. You could have just been like, oh, no. But he literally goes like, yeah, I'm gonna blow everybody up here in front of all of the FBI that was present. Just giving yourself is such a weird. That's why they call it rush hour.
Because he rushed
the rush the plot immediately.
Yeah, you're right. Because like he's a guy who has been like been the British governor of Hong Kong for many many years before it was handed back over to China. He is a man who has instilled himself as like the secret crime boss in Hong Kong. So he's definitely smart enough to just like deny until you have all the evidence in the world against you, right? And also, like, there's no reality in which that guy, I'm sorry, or that guy's getting charged, because he's a British diplomat in America who operated in Hong Kong. Like, it's just so fucking tangled.
So much red tape, man. They would never be able to take you to court.
I didn't even think about that part. I mean, they've got to be able to. Anyway, doesn't this movie actually ends in like a 2-hour court scene?
Yeah, with the intricacies of, you know, not only Hong Kong and mainland China relations, but like U.S. China relations, and the British imperialism get all mixed up in that.
I call
Jackie
it the Airbud ending.
Chris Tucker just doing paperwork. What's that? Sorry.
I said I call it the Airbud ending.
Yeah.
Where for some reason we end up at court at the end.
Could you imagine?
We don't know how to wrap this movie up. We need the law involved.
Let's Law and Order Rush Hour. Let's.
Could you imagine the witness statements for that too? Just how crazy, just Lee and Carter on the witness stand having to answer for everything they did up until that point near the end. Yeah. Where they just
get any warrants? At no point did we get warrants. No.
Did you tell anybody? No. No, 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 no.
Did you ever document anything you found? No.
No. No.
Just flying by the seat of our pants. Unreal. Unreal. I think it is worth saying that the main villain in this is definitely not right.
No.
His crimes involve... they start with British imperialism, and they get worse. He kidnaps a girl, no go. He blows up a whole building filled with people, no go. He's stealing priceless Chinese artifacts from the people who own them, no go.
But to be fair, the protagonists weren't right either. So
that is true. Sometimes we do, the hero was wrong. And I think that was very much this episode. The heroes were fucking wrong the whole time.
Absolutely. Anything else we wanted to mention about Rush Hour?
No, I think I'm good. Peter?
Right. I'm good.
No, you're good. We all enjoyed the watch, though, I'm sure. I love the watch.
Yeah, yes.
What a fun movie.
It was good to revisit, for sure. And I guess that brings us to our definitive rankings of how good the villain is. I'll start us off. I've got the Jackie Chan scale. So, for obvious reasons. So on a scale of Jackie Chan singing, he's trying his best. All the way up to Jackie Chan's wallet, which is doing just fine. I'm going to give Jun Tao / Griffin, the guy, a Jackie Chan's knees, because they're absolutely fucked. They're just...
they're absolutely fucked.
There's no way that guy can walk by the time he's 70. You know what I mean?
Isn't he 70 right now?
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
oh,
shit. So.
He's gotta be. Come on now.
You're right. He's not a spring chicken, I guess. That's for sure. Peter, what do you got for us?
Well, I did a scale out of 1 out of 10 Rush Hours.
Okay.
And I ranked the villain of this movie I was going to say 5 Rush Hours, but also the fact that I was going to say British colonialism, but I already brought that up at the beginning. I was just going to say just like every,
I guess we,
this generationally wrong. This whole movie is just.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of wrong in this movie. I also did a Rush Hour scale, but I did mine on based off of general Rush Hours, where they would happen. I've got from the main street of a small town to Toronto at literally any hour, pick one. It's fucked here. I am going to give our main villain a Manhattan at 5 o'clock. There should be people swearing and screaming, and there's just. You're so wrong. You're the most wrong. You kidnapped a child for $50 million after stealing a bunch of priceless artifacts. Go fuck yourself. Absolutely. Go fuck yourself, New York style. How's that?
Yeah.
New York minute.
My first visit to Manhattan, the thing that blew my mind more than anything is just like, people don't get out of the way for ambulances. Like, it's just the ambulance is just sitting there in traffic with like its lights on, and you're like walking past. And you're like, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. that's sorry. Your scale just made me think of that. But guys, we will get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a couple ways that you can support the podcast. So first of all, if you have a couple of bucks and you want to help us out and you want to support the podcast, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you don't know, Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the creators that you like and find entertaining, and including us. And in exchange for that, you get a whole bunch of rewards at different levels. So at our bottom basement, $1 a month gets you ad-free episodes. So guys, if you want to listen to these episodes and you don't want to hear the ads, pop on over to Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get these delivered right to your podcast app of your choosing, generally, and they'll be ad free. So that's a great way to support us, and also a great way to get what you want. And we also have other levels. We've got audience choice that you can vote on. We have early release of episodes, and we have two bonus episodes every month, a Craig pick and a Rebecca pick. So if any of that sounds appealing to you, you can head over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright and become one of our henchies, as we call them. And if you just want to get in touch with us,
as always, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook, and villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got for us, Craig?
Yeah, so I've got another hero. I'm going on a little bit of a positive streak here. It's a, I was just at I want to say house party, but it's like an adult house party. So, you know, like there's like cheese out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Do we have another word for it? It's like a dinner party, but we didn't have dinner. But like, it's not cardboard on the floor kegs kind of house party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, and I just happened to have just a very nice and meaningful conversation with another one of the guests. We were sort of talking about like careers and talking about like, you know, directions in life and all the rest. And he mentioned something that I just found just so useful and helpful and kind of positive, which is, would your 10-year-old self be excited for what you're doing right now, right? So if you just forget all the bullshit about having to email people and all the rest, but if you were to describe to your 10-year-old self what you get to do every day as part of your job, would they be thrilled? So like, would they be excited that you get to go and do stand-up comedy? Yes, they would. Your 10-year-old self would. Would your 10-year-old self be excited that you get to do a podcast about movies and villains? Yes, they would. And I don't know, it's just so perfectly distilled what, I don't know, just a feeling that I had. And like a way to evaluate life is, would your 10-year-old self be excited about what you're doing right now? So I don't know. That just kind of struck me as a hero. So, you know, if you're in a weird place or something and you're not sure what you want to do with your life, just ask yourself, would your 10-year-old self be excited about what you're doing? And I love that. That's my hero.
Well, yeah, that's also like, even if you don't like your job, you're still an adult, man. You could spend all night marathoning Star Trek and eating a full keg. Would your 10-year-old self like that? Yes, they would. Fucking do it. It's your time.
100%. Yeah, that's my hero. Peter, you got a hero or villain of the week for us today?
I do. It's a hero, I guess, in this case. Because I was walking down the street yesterday, and I guess a lady recognized me. And she told me she thought I was very funny, and then described the joke of another comic to me. And I thought... that was hilarious, and I thought she was a hero because I was like, oh, I actually like that joke. It's a hilarious joke. Thanks.
Also great because it like makes you feel good in the moment, and then just immediately brings you back.
Yeah,
down,
just
right? It's
just,
like it's just self leveling. Kind of.
Yeah, it's a reality checks.
Yeah,
immediate.
Oh, don't God. Let your head get too yeah. big. Yeah.
Jesus it. Christ. I've got a villain. Like, I mean, a light villain in the sense that there's no way this individual knew that they were doing. But I was like, oh, my God. So I have started going out on dates again. I'm like, okay, I'm going to we're going to dip my toe in the water. We're going to try and go out on a date. And it has not been going well. It's a fucking nightmare out there, y'all. It's not good. Okay, it's very, very bad. It's very, very bleak. And in one particular, I'm not going to go into too many details. This is not about embarrassing anybody. It's just like I had an incident and I was like, how is this happening right now? Okay, because I'm at this point now where I'm like, okay, like I was in a very, very long relationship prior to this. I'm like, I feel weird. I feel awkward. I don't know what to do anymore. But I'm like, okay, we're just going to power through. I was hanging out with somebody and they were like, and I was a little drunk. And they were a little drunk and they were like, hey, let's make out. And I was like, yeah, I haven't done that in forever. That sounds great. Sure. Let's try it. Let's roll the dice. Let's see if I can still do this. And I swear to Christ, my lip is bruised. It's literally, bruised. It's bruised. I don't know if you've ever had a bruised lip. I don't think I've ever had this in my entire life. It was so bad. It was so bad. And that's the answer to what's the worst thing that could happen here.
I think. Did it like connect worst, with teeth? Like a nose?
Yeah, did he have braces?
No, it was just, oh my God, I'm going to gross so many people out. It was like, you know when it feels like somebody is desperately trying to find out what's at the back of your throat? They're very curious. They need to know. They need to get back that there's investigation happening. And the licking of teeth, it doesn't matter. Oh my God, it was just, there's a lot happening. Anyway, point
there's
being,
only one person who should lick your teeth, and that's you.
Yeah. Anyway, oh boy. They are my villain of the week. Because it's getting crazy out there, guys. So crazy. Hold your loved ones tight. Hold them tight. It's great. Your situation's wonderful. I hope it is.
There's people licking teeth out here.
There's people licking teeth out here. If you're wondering how it's going out here, it's not. It's not good. It's not good. Stay locked up. Don't worry about it. Guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Peter, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, saranwrap, 0_0.
Nice. Very nice. Check him out. And very good stand-up comedian as well. So check out Peter's stuff when you got a chance. You can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates. And that's us for this week on The Villain Was Right. Stay tuned for next week where we have... we've got a big one coming your way, guys. Raising Arizona. We're finally doing Raising Arizona after many, many requests. We're going to do it. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be so much fun. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you not to fight like a man.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.